Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, May 21st, 2026. At the top of the front page, Iroquois County Solid Waste Management Plan Updated, Available for Review, by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Iroquois County Solid Waste Management Plan has been updated and is available for public review for 90 days. The Iroquois County Board approved that measure at the May 12th meeting. In the meeting, it was noted that once the 90-day review period was completed, the County Board will approve the plan, which will then be forwarded to the Environmental Protection Agency. The plan includes a history overview and other information pertinent to the county. The Iroquois County Recycling Center opened in 1988, and the board adopted a municipal solid waste plan in 1991. It was done so in compliance with the Illinois Solid Waste Planning and Recycling Act. That act requires counties review and update plans every 5 years. A solid waste coordinator was appointed by the board in 1992, with the position being vacated and the office disbanded in around 2010. Since 1991, national and local developments in the solid waste industry have required re-evaluation of some of the original recommendations contained in the plan, reads the plan. Expansions of landfills in adjoining counties are projected to provide sufficient disposal capacity. Previous drop-off/buyback recycling programs that were operating within the county have proven to be economically feasible under those market conditions when they were compared to extensive curbside recycling. There have been legislative changes at the state and federal level which require current reassessment of existing programs and recommendations. The Office of Solid Waste will be reestablished and a solid waste coordinator will be appointed in 2026. The office will assist area residents and government officials with the implementation of programs and recommendations contained in the county's solid waste plan. Iroquois County will establish a solid waste advisory committee, which shall include representatives from municipalities within the county, citizen organizations, industry, the private solid waste management industry operating within the county, local recyclers, and any other individuals deemed appropriate by the county. The advisory committee shall review the plan during its preparation, make suggestions, and propose any changes it believes appropriate. Iroquois County will provide written notice to all municipalities and interested members of the public when plan development begins and shall provide periodic written progress reports to such entities concerning the preparation of the plan. Prior to adoption by the governing body of the county shall submit copies of the proposed plan for review and comment to the agency, all municipalities within the county, all area-wide planning agencies, and the county health department. The county shall also make the proposed plan available for public review and comment. The period for review and comments shall be 90 days. The county shall hold at least one public hearing on the proposed plan during this period. The plan subsequently submitted to the governing body of the county for adoption shall be accompanied by a document containing written responses to substantive comments made during the comment period by those in attendance during the meeting, reads the document. Once it is adopted locally, it will be submitted to the IEPA for review. Once approved, the county will then review and update the plan every 5 years as required. The 2026 plan notes that Scott Anderson is the solid waste coordinator It lists the water stream for the area at 50% residential and 50% business, industry, and institutions. Waste collection is 100% by private hauling firms. There are no operating landfills or waste transfer stations. Tipping fees at surrounding landfills average $45 a ton. Municipal solid waste generated per year is listed at 19,100 tons. The plan includes implementing waste reduction education to give to waste generators and will provide for staff and a budget to assist in this endeavor. The county will apply for grant funding to construct a recycling facility by 2028. If funds are secured, the facility could be operational by 2031. Drop-off recycling collection facilities are also discussed, along with curbside recycling drop-off collections. The county previously owned and operated the processing facility, which directly markets recyclables. Material collected: newspaper, office paper, magazines, cardboard, aluminum, steel cans, plastic bottles, HIPE and PET, glass bottles. Efforts are being moved forward to reestablish the former recycling program, working with the contractor the county utilized in the past, reads the plan. Top Tips for Traveling Seniors by Joanne K. Klobus from the Community Health News Service. Ask any retiree the best part about not punching a time clock anymore, and chances are good they'll tell you it's the freedom to do whatever you choose with your time. And for many, that includes travel. For older adults who never had the flexibility to travel much through their earning years, where to go, how to get there, and what to do once you arrive can be confusing. Although online travel planning may seem simple and cost-effective, seeking the advice of a travel professional has advantages. You can save time, trouble, and money in the long run. Travel consultant Joanne Barr works with many older adults and helps them take trips best suited for their interests, budget, and limitations. I begin by asking a lot of questions, Barr says. For them to have the most enjoyable experience, I need to know if they need any special accommodations. In general, Barr says keeping things simple, as with package deals, where all the arrangements are made ahead of time and managed by a director, are ideal for older adults. Multiple transfers and wayfinding can be confusing for anyone, but especially for seniors, she says. Recently, Barr has seen an increase in the popularity of river cruises. Ocean cruises have always held appeal for seniors as the ultimate package deal, she says, but river cruises are all that and more. United States Air Force retiree Naomi McMillan went on a river cruise to France and liked the smaller number of passengers on board the ship. It led to a more intimate and personalized experience, she says. You actually got to know the people you were traveling with. Shorter lines for excursions, tours, and meals was really nice, too. According to Barr, another great travel option for seniors is by motor coach. And if you think this means a 3-hour drive to a casino on a stuffy bus smelling like diesel fumes, you're mistaken. Courtney Saylor of Anderson Coach and Travel plans individual and group travel for one-day outings to local museums, shows, and shops, as well as a 30-day tour through Canada and Alaska. Everything and everything in between. 80% of Anderson's tour guests are seniors, and it's no wonder. They appreciate that we plan everything for them, so they don't have to make arrangements for where to go and what to see, and nearly every aspect is included in the price, Saylor says. This is a great feature for those on fixed incomes because it takes the guesswork out of budgeting for a vacation. Iroquois County Sheriff's Police reports. On May 10th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Arturo J. Martinez, 33, of Kentland. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for traffic violations where Martinez was the driver. A computer check revealed Martinez to have an outstanding Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on the original charge of driving under the influence of drugs. Martinez was taken into custody and transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released with a notice to appear. On May 11th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Caitlin M. Fry, 32, of Milford. According to police reports, deputies responded to the report of an unwanted person in Gilman. Deputies observed evidence of stolen property. Fry was taken into custody and charged with theft less than $500 and criminal trespass to property. Fry was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released with a notice to appear. On May 12th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Bailey J. Moore, 26, of Milford. According to police reports, Moore was being held at the Hoopston Jail on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on the original charge of possession of methamphetamines less than 5 grams. Moore was taken into custody and transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains awaiting her next court date. On May 12th, Aaron T. Parsons, 36, of Watseka, turned himself into the custody of the Iroquois County Jail. According to police reports, Parsons was wanted on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant for domestic battery. Parsons remains in custody, awaiting his next court date. On May 13th, Marka D. Smith, 31, of Rantoul, turned himself into the custody of the Iroquois County Jail. According to police reports, Smith was sentenced on the charge of driving while license revoked. Smith is currently serving his sentence. On May 13th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Heather J. Brewer, 29, of Watseka. According to police reports, deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for traffic violations where Brewer was the driver. A computer check revealed Brewer to have a suspended driver's license. Brewer was taken into custody and charged with driving while license suspended. Brewer was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where she was later released with a notice to appear. On May 13th, Louis J. Surprenant, 70, of Watseka, turned himself into the custody of the Iroquois County Jail. According to police reports, Surprenant was sentenced on the charge of possession of methamphetamine less than 5 grams. Surprenant is being held for Illinois Department of Corrections. On May 13th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested David Baker, 44, of Decatur. According to police reports, Baker was being held at the Livingston County Jail on an outstanding Iroquois County bench warrant for aggravated battery to a police officer. Baker was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he was later released with a notice to appear. On May 13th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Robert P. De Vries, 62, of Watsika. According to police reports, De Vries was being held at the Livingston County Jail on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant for failure to appear on the original charge of domestic battery. De Vries was transported to the Iroquois County Jail, where he remains awaiting his next court date. On May 13th, Iroquois County Sheriff's Police arrested Robert A. Averone, 72, of Midlothian. According to police reports, Averone was sentenced on the charge of driving while license revoked. Averone was brought over from the Iroquois County Courthouse and is currently serving his sentence. Watsika Police Reports. On May 14th at 5:42 p.m., the Watsika Police Department was dispatched to the 100 block of West Mulberry Street for a reported battery. According to reports, the suspect exited her vehicle, attempted to attack another female, and then fled the scene. A few hours later, the suspect called dispatch requesting to speak with an officer about the earlier incident. Alexis J. Wood, 28, of Watsika, was arrested for battery and transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On May 15th, the Watsika Police Department received a report of a stolen vehicle from the 300 block of East Locust Street. According to reports, a 1987 Chevrolet pickup truck had been stolen sometime over the weekend. On May 18th, officers located the stolen vehicle parked behind a residence in the 300 block of East Elm Street. As officers attempted to make contact with the homeowner, they observed a female fleeing northward from the property on foot. Bobby J. Perez Gutierrez, 38, of Watsika, was taken into custody and charged with motor vehicle theft, possession of stolen property, and resisting arrest. Perez Gutierrez was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Pushell directs CCDS Spring Concert by Kim Rabe for The Times Republic. Rachel Pushell, music director at Crescent City Grade School, organized and directed the Spring Concert on May 14th. She was assisted by Tori Legan, technical support with audio-visual, Lauren Pushell, video support, Lucas Schroeder, lights, and Michael Pushell, moral support and assistance where needed. Nate Kroll, third grade teacher, addressed the crowd and asked them to rise as his students led them in the Pledge of Allegiance, once in English, then in Spanish. Prior to the concert, Lucas Schroeder, superintendent/principal of CCGS, welcomed everyone. He then presented retiring fourth grade teacher Tonya Wengert with a gift. Each section of the program was introduced by a fifth grader, and they were Jaden Panozzo Austin, Cortland Hendershot, Ryder Matthews, Carter Robinson, Kyle Hendershot, and Peyton Carter. Connor Hicks, a fifth grader, was absent from the concert. Their teachers are Heather Girth and Martha Geyer. Kindergartners and first graders sang several of their classroom songs. Camputin Dun, and La Raspa. Their performances featured rings, colored rings, and green tubes. Kindergartners are Maverick Miracle, Quentin Leminger, Gideon Keller, Edurne Yasaka, Analia Meadows, Carolyn Lemeniger, Dylan Ward, and Camille Charles. Their teacher is Heather Johnson. First graders are the students of Stephanie Rippey, and they are Jed Coleman, Lila Pierce, Myla Cox, Emma Brown, Ava Cordivo, Dawson Keller, Cambry Medina, Knox Gregory, Max Moeller, and Layla Hooper. Second and third graders performed Evening Rise and The Lion Sleeps Tonight on xylophones. Kristen Marquis is the second grade teacher, and her students are Evangeline Milk, Augie Schunk, Colton Carter, Brantley Williams, Aria Meadows, Reese Rippey, and Hadley Hicks. Kroll's third graders are Jackson Moeller, Braxton Grabo, Connor Brown, Abel Villa, Ryan Matthews, Bentley Norder, Cooper Maxfield, Addison Geisen, Maverick Cox, and Pierce Storm. Fourth and fifth graders performed Seven and La Bamba on their bucket drums. Fourth graders are Jude Meadows, Oakley Cahoe, Marley Keller, Charlotte Cox, Vaughn Butzo, Hollis Puchel, Quentin Bull, and Avery Rippey. The concert's final performance included all the staff and students of CCGS. Under the effects of black lights, they performed Pink Panther and Saucy. That performance featured slinkies, colored scarves, colored rings, and white gloves, with teachers also donning colored glasses. CUSD number 249, Board of Ed, accepts donation for playground equipment by Kim Rabe for the Times Republic. Steve Massey, president of Crescent Iroquois CUSD number 249, Board of Education, called the Monday, May 18th meeting to order at 6 p.m. Following the pledge to the flag, Secretary Becky Dirks took roll call with all board members present. Tim Coleman, Lee Medina, Candy Butzo, Aaron Hamilton, Mallory Redeker, Dirks, and Massey. Also present was Superintendent/Principal Lucas Schroeder. As there were no changes to the agenda, the board moved on to non-action items. The policy committee met just prior the board meeting. The last day of school is Friday, May 29th, with an 11:30 a.m. dismissal. The district lunch will be at that time with Jimmy John's truck on premises. There was no input from the audience and no board correspondence. In his superintendent's report, Schroeder noted summer work is being planned and has started. There was nothing to report in transportation or state and federal reporting. As to financials, Schroeder noted the district is in good shape. For his principal's report, Schroeder said enrollment has not changed. Everyone is welcome to the district-wide luncheon on May 29th. Announced the April Students of the Month as Hadley Hicks, second grade, and Marley Keller, fourth grade, and the spring concert took place on May 14th. There will be no school on May 25th, which is Memorial Day. Third through fifth graders are taking a field trip, as will kindergarten through second graders. The fourth quarter of the Hawks Reading Challenge has ended, and readers will be rewarded with a shopping trip. The following items were then approved: minutes of the May 18th regular meeting, the treasurer's report dated April 30th, there is no April 31st, the payment of bills dated May 18th, the imprest fund and petty cash reports of April 30th, leaving closed minutes closed, destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months, and the first reading of Press Plus Policy Update number 121. The board then approved the hiring of Kim Redenius as a long-term sub for fourth grade for fiscal year 2027 only, to authorize and direct Superintendent Schroeder to prepare the fiscal year 27 budget. A $10,000 donation from Casey's for new playground equipment, and to hire Denise Carter as part-time summer custodial help as needed during the summer of 2026. There was no further business. The board adjourned. The next meeting will be at 6 p.m. Monday, June 22nd. Unit 9 School Board approves employment matters from staff reporters. Reports. The Unit 9 School Board approved employment matters at the May 19th meeting. The board approved employment of Maria Behrens, Kinsey Parsons, Teresa Bilotto, and Mandy Van Hovlen as long-term substitutes for the 2026-27 school year. The board also approved a retirement letter from Amy Dickty as high school English teacher at the end of the 2029-30 school year. The board approved resignation letters from Tanya Bretveld as high school Spanish teacher at the end of the 2025-26 school year, Alexis Brutal as library aide at the end of the 2025-26 school year, and Katie Hoberg as paraprofessional aide at the end of the 2025-26 school year. The board also approved updates to the high school extra duty list, the Athletic Inspiration Awards, certified, non-certified, and bus driver handouts third reading, student handbooks third reading, and various policy additions and revisions from IASB issue 121 third reading. Adding Illinois funds as an authorized depository was also approved, as was employing Jennifer Hamilton as a fully certified teacher. New party, independent filing open for November 3rd election. New party and independent filing is now open at the Iroquois County Clerk's Office for the November 3rd general election. According to information from the clerk, office hours are from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. The office will be closed Monday, May 25th, in observance of Memorial Day. The last day to file the necessary papers in the county clerk's office is 5 p.m. May 26th. Petitions are available in the Iroquois County Clerk's Office. For additional information, please call 815-432-6960 during regular business hours. This is Lincoln, and I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, May 21st, 2026. Have a fabulous day.